Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, joined as always by Mike Taglier. You can follow us on Twitter at Bobby Fantasy Pro and at Mike Taglier NFL. And you know, Tags, we did the mock draft episode the other day, and you beat me. It was I think you had a 91, I got an 86. So I went back on Draft Wizard. You know how you can revert pick? And I reverted my pick so that I could, you know, instead of drafting a backup tight end in place of a defense, what do you think that I got?
An 89.
No, I actually went backwards. I got an 85. So our Draft Wizard algorithm apparently has gotten a lot better over the years. And so I just wanted to admit defeat. You did actually finally beat me in a mock draft. We'll be doing another one tomorrow with Chris Harris. But you know what? Today, you're going to lose because we're doing Fantasy Feud again. We're also going to be talking mid-round values. And I brought in the most competitive man in the industry to make sure we can finally take Tags down. It's Jake Seeley of The Athletic. He's on Twitter at All In Kid. Jake, have you ever lost in anything?
No, not that I'll admit.
So Jake is going to win today. I'm really looking forward to this. We're going to do Fantasy Feud. Jake, we really appreciate you taking the time to talk. We know everyone is really busy in August.
Just a little bit, especially when you make the decision to get a puppy in the middle of August, too. So that was
Jake cannot even talk about this without saying I warned him. I actually talked to him on the phone about it, and I told him, I said, puppies, man, they're a responsibility, because I got my puppy just a few months ago, and in the first few weeks, it's hell. It is absolute hell. So good luck, Jake.
That's the thing. It's trying to get her on a schedule, and the schedule is like 90%. Like Mike's right. It's 90% good. It's 10% bad, but the 10% that bad is it's really bad. It's like flipping out mode. And you know, just all of a sudden decides to pee in the middle of playing despite the fact she's been on a good track record. So it's just, we'll see. She hasn't whined too much on podcasting yet. People have heard it on The Athletic I think twice so far, but we'll see if she makes it through this entire show. So
I don't think anyone's going to complain about hearing a puppy on a podcast. That would be pretty welcome in my mind. So guys, we do have some news to talk about before we get to mid-round value picks. Before we do though, I want to tell you a little bit about our draft kit. Guys, our draft kit has amazing printable cheat sheets that show consensus rankings from 100-plus experts, strength of schedules for each team and position, last year's target leaders, and even auction values. Only premium subscribers can view our draft kit, but a premium subscription also gives you access to our award-winning suite of draft tools, the Draft Wizard, which enables you to finish realistic mock drafts in as little as 5 minutes using our draft simulator, and get pick-by-pick draft advice with expert recommendations for your real drafts through our draft assistant. You can even access our suite of in-season tools, My Playbook, which provides sit start recommendations, waiver wire pickup suggestions, and trade analysis. All of this comes with our premium content too. All you have to do to access this incredible array of powerful tools and useful advice is to head over to fantasypros.com/draftkit and get yourself a premium subscription today if you don't already have one. Now, Tags, I saw a thread on Reddit asking if using Fantasy Pros is cheating, and a few people said that their league has outlawed it. Seriously, guys, dominate your draft this preseason with our draft kit at fantasypros.com/draftkit. All right, guys, so for news, we need to talk about this Andrew Luck thing. At first, it was a calf. Then they're saying it's the bone. Now it's the ankle. I saw someone on Twitter say they're expecting an amputation next, and the Colts are still going to say he's playing week one. Jake, what do you make of this? I had Andrew Luck as my QB4. I've moved him down now to the point where I don't think I'll get any shares.
No, I originally on Monday, I updated my rankings and projections on The Athletic, and I had initially put in two missed games because even heading into this week, it was just, you know, he's not on the field. And they keep telling us he was going to be, but I'm like, nah, at this point, I don't feel good. I want to kind of adjust for the risk and take off two games and give him to Brissett and the results from everybody else on the team from T.Y. Hilton down. But now at this point, with this talk of, you know, they tried to address it and then thought it was going to be the calf and then it moved to his ankle and they haven't been able to pinpoint it because apparently you're supposed to numb it and that should tell you. Like, all that being said is, like, this thing has been going on since March now. That's when the story started. This is straight from the team in Ballard. So I'm just sitting back here. We talked about it on our podcast as well. And like Brad Ziegler, former MLB player, sitting here like, what kind of front office medical staff do you have that this is this much? Like, it's honestly, like, people complain about the Redskins. Like, this is now two times with your franchise quarterback that this is going down this road. So I'm with you. Initially, that moved his projection. I had him at 4. Just the two missed games because quarterback's so flat with so many quality QB1s. That bumped him all the way down to QB11. I have to say, I told people on our podcast, I'll say it on your podcast, I'll say it time and again, as of right now, my update this upcoming Monday is going to be 6 missed games. I am going very cautious at this point. I wouldn't be surprised if he's out for half the season or more because he was out for the entire season when everything was supposed to be fine. So I can't see taking him unless he's now, like, you're basically drafting him as a backup with upside.
Tags, it reminds me of Andrew Luck, what was it, 2-3 years ago, Carson Wentz last year, where they're saying, ah, everything's fine, he'll be back eventually. Now, they're not going to put him on the pup because they want to keep everyone optimistic, but I agree with Jake. I think it's going to be 4, 5, 6, maybe more. What do you think?
Wow. I mean, you guys could turn out to be right. You could, but
I'm not playing games, man. I'm not doing this garbage, putting two quarterbacks on my roster and let one of them sit.
Before I even get into this, let me tell you that I wasn't going to draft Andrew Luck before this. This is not going to make me draft him afterwards because he's not going to drop that far in drafts. He's still going to go as a top 4 quarterback. That's going to happen.
You think so? Okay.
Yeah, I do. I don't think he's actually going to miss any time. And the reason I say that is because if it was a calf injury, it makes sense that he'd have a high ankle sprain. Like, overcompensation, you kind of lead onto one thing. We see running backs come back from high ankle sprains after 2-3 weeks sometimes, and they play. Andrew Luck is not a mobile quarterback anymore. He was a pocket passer last year. That offensive line is fantastic. I think Andrew Luck's going to be back on the field. You know, I think that they've learned the PR nightmare that can come from, like, lying about Andrew Luck. I think he is going to be on the field. I think they're just playing it safe with him. But again, I'm still not drafting him. If he falls to, like, the...
If he's there, Aaron Rodgers is there.
Right. Well, that's how it's been this offseason. That's why I've had some Rodgers on my teams. But I think literally the 30-plus best ball drafts I've done, I have Andrew Luck, I think, in 1 or 2.
Yeah. And Golden Tate did lose his appeal. We don't need to talk about that because it's what was expected, but just want to update you all on that. He is going to miss 4 games. So he's just a wide receiver 4, wide receiver 5 at this point. But when he comes back, he'll be fine. Kenyon Drake is in a walking boot. We do need to talk about this. I've heard reports that he might practice later this week. It makes me nervous, though, and I think Kalen Ballage is going to fly up the rankings. I don't want anything to do with him, though. Jake, how do you feel about the Dolphins' backfield?
Yeah, I was Team Drake, quote-unquote, because I like him better as a player. This is definitely a huge concern. The flex drafts that we did now almost 2 weekends ago, I actually got Drake in the auction, and Ballage went for more than he did. And I'm saying,
oh, so stupid.
I was like, hey, that's fine by me. And like, if you guys want to do that. The thing with Ballage, and this is what I keep saying about him, is if you told me athleticism player to player, I think he's a better athletic player than Drake. But if you watch Ballage play, in my opinion, I don't think he knows how to be a quality running back. I look at his decision-making. I look at his vision. I just don't think he's there. Like, maybe that's stuff he can learn and get better at, but we've seen players before that have never developed in that aspect. I just don't think he's a very good running back. I think he's a very good athlete. I just don't think he's an NFL running back. So where I am now, and I tweeted this out a little bit earlier, because you say that the hype is built because of some guy with over a million followers named Matthew Berry, who's been touting Ballage this entire offseason. But I went out there and said, you know what? Ballage is going to be moving up. He's still out of the price range, which I didn't want it to begin with. I'm still drafting in deep leagues, and now in the 14th round of a standard size league, I'll throw a flyer on Myles Gaskin because he's the one the team drafted, and he's the team that if Drake is out, I could see getting in the mix for one, and then two, if Ballage struggles, maybe he gets an opportunity because this is the one that the team actually drafted.
Yeah, I feel like this is the same kind of case as Darwin Thompson, who I'm growing really fond of. I don't know if you guys saw, but he got first team reps with Kansas City in the previous practice, and I would much rather tie myself to
I'm
the
squashing
Chiefs.
You. No.
Okay, bring it on, baby.
Brad Ziegler was just at practice yesterday, and he didn't get first team reps at all. Not one. And
what?
Yep, not one, because Damian Williams got all of them.
Did somebody just flat out lie to me, or like what's going on here?
Well, so two things. First team reps, for everybody out there, and you know this, first team reps are usually used to evaluate like a new player, a rookie, somebody new to the team. So first team reps doesn't always mean like the guy's going to be starting or involved. But when Damian came back to practice yesterday, he was out there on the field watching. He said Damian Williams, all first team reps, zero second team reps, which makes sense because they want to get him back into the swing of things. But the only other guy who saw first team reps was Carlos Hyde. Darwin Thompson was exclusively number twos, and he was number twos in the passing game only behind Carlos Hyde, which tells me they got their first team reps for Darwin Thompson and were not impressed enough to give him any more. He's in that pass catching only. We'll see 5 touches a game, maybe.
So the first team reps did happen. It just wasn't yesterday. That's really interesting because Darwin Thompson's been getting a lot of hype lately after that preseason game. He looked big and powerful, and I could see a case where Damian Williams, Carlos Hyde don't live up to it, and maybe they just give it to who I think is the most talented running back in the backfield. Tags, does that interest you whatsoever? What are you doing with this Dolphins backfield too?
Avoiding like the plague? Honestly,
I moved Kenyon Drake down to RB34.
I've had him at 30. No, before this injury, I had him at RB33 because I can't trust him. I like Kenyon Drake, the running back. I hate the situation. I hate that Brian Flores has decided to give reps to Kalen Ballage because Kalen Ballage was someone that he couldn't even end a starting job in college. That's never a good sign. I don't like Kalen Ballage. He has zero vision. He's not a bad receiver for a big guy, but Kenyon Drake's a better receiver than him. So there's just nothing that he does better than Kenyon Drake that concerned me. But now that there's this injury, it's a bad offensive line. It's a bad team. They're not going to score a lot of points. I'm avoiding those guys, basically, is what it comes down to. As for Kansas City, you know, if you hit on one of those, like if you hit the guy that, like if Darwin Thompson wound up as a starter, he's a league winner, but that's not going to happen.
What are the odds? 5%?
I think it's 2 injuries is what the odds are, and I don't know what the odds are for that.
So 5%?
Yeah, 5%.
Yeah, so it might be 5%, but Carlos Hyde's the handcuff I want there, and I've said it all along. I believe that Damian Williams is going to start for them to start the year, but I think, you know, if anything goes wrong, if he struggles a little bit, Carlos Hyde's going to see time, and they're going to start mixing in touches between those guys, and Andy Reid will always find his guy. I think the timeshare thing would be short-lived. I think he would be just searching for whoever's best of the three.
Sure. All right, guys, and by far the biggest news in my mind, Amari Cooper has plantar fasciitis. This is crippling when you were dealing with it. Amari Cooper is one of the best route runners in the game. You can't run routes with this. I guarantee it. Now, I don't know how serious this is, how long it's going to last, but I'll tell you what. A different sport, but Albert Pujols had his career absolutely crippled by plantar fasciitis. It's an injury you can play with, but I just don't think you can be the same player. I had Amari Cooper wide receiver 11. I have now got him wide receiver 17. I'm not playing this game, guys. Jake, what do you think?
I wasn't playing the game to begin with.
Okay.
I hate to say that I'm annoyed at somebody getting hurt, because I never want to feel good or bad about an injury because this is somebody's life, obviously. But
yeah,
I'm frustrated because I was happy to see other people pay up for Amari Cooper once again, and now this is going to knock him back probably to where he should have been, and where he's still probably going to go a little bit earlier than he should, because Amari Cooper, despite being quote unquote better with the Cowboys, was still Amari Cooper, just a better version of Amari Cooper. If everybody would just go back and look at the game log and look at the fact that 4 of the games after he got there were 6.3 points or less in half point PPR. The fact that if you total up of the 7 games he played in those 2 games with the 2 touchdowns and the 3 touchdowns, that one against the Eagles where he went bananas, you total up those 2 games, it was 20-something points more than the other 5 games combined. Like, that's... Amari Cooper is still Amari Cooper. He was just a better version of Amari Cooper. So I'm still off. I was still not drafting him as a top-end wide receiver 2 with the fringe wide receiver 1 upside. I wasn't doing it because he really wasn't that much different than he's ever been. So Again, that's why I'm frustrated, because now people are going to pull him back to where he should have been. Hopefully, again, they still draft him a little bit higher than he should, because he's now a low-end wide receiver too for me.
Tags, Chris Godwin continues to climb up the boards. If you get Amari Cooper and Chris Godwin both there in the fourth round, who are you taking?
I'm still going to take Cooper there, most likely. Cooper's still the number one on his team. Like, there's no debate about that. I moved Cooper down to 15. I actually have dealt with plantar fasciitis before myself, so I can tell you this. Jake, if you were, like, the whole idea that Amari Cooper is an inconsistent receiver, I think it has more to do with target share than anything. But let's say he gets those targets. I think that he's going to be inconsistent for different reasons moving forward, because plantar fasciitis is something. I was running like 3 miles a day when this happened. And the doctors would tell me, you need to lay off of it. You need to rest. There's no surgery that you needed to. You didn't rupture it or anything like that. And basically, it would be better for 2 days. I'd go out and run and I'd feel it. And it's like, it's literally like a knife going right through the bottom of your foot. It hurts so bad. But the thing is,
I would rather get kicked square in the nuts. I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding.
But here's the thing. When it's not bothering you, it's not bothering you. Like, it's almost like you forget it's even there. You're like, oh, it's fine. And you're going to have good days and bad days. So it's very possible that Amari Cooper has games where he just can't go because it flared up. And I promise you, you cannot run routes, especially the way he does.
Late scratches. Oh man, that sounds awful. So like an extreme version of Amari Cooper.
Yeah. So I mean, I moved him. I moved him to the bottom of that tier. He's a wide receiver 15 for me, and it's definitely worrisome.
I've got him in the Woods, Godwin, Cooper, Edelman tier. That's all for the news. That is actually a lot for, you know, we're doing a podcast every single day now. So we're going to get out to the mid-round value picks here in just a second. But first, I want to tell you a little bit about Fantasy Draft. Fantasy Draft, the only rake-free daily fantasy site in the business, has partnered with Hooters to bring you the largest guaranteed rake-free contest lineup in the history of daily fantasy sports, including the $1 million Hooters kickoff. That's right, Fantasy Draft is hosting the first rake-free contest with a guaranteed prize pool of $1 million. Listen, as other fantasy sites continue to raise rake, prize pools are being squeezed, making it harder for players like you to win. Whether you want to call it rake, commission, or management fee, the days of paying 10, 12, or even 15% or more of your entry fees to fantasy companies is over. No longer will you lose 30% of your bankroll to the house. Only on Fantasy Draft are 100% of entry fees paid out to contest winners, 100% of the time. To access all of Fantasy Draft's exclusive rake-free contests, including the Hooters $1 million kickoff, all you need to do is become a member. Sign up at fantasydraft.com today with promo code FANTASYPROS, all one word, and you'll get a free 7-day trial membership. That's fantasydraft.com, promo code FANTASYPROS. Don't miss your shot at this incredible $1 million rake-free contest and its $100,000 top prize. All right, mid-round value picks, and here's how it's going to work. We're going to start at round 4, work our way down to round 9, and we're each just going to give our favorite values from each round based on ADP. So we're going to start at round 4. Tags, you get to go first, then we're going to go to Jake.
Ooh.
Who do you have in round 4 that you like?
Yeah, a player in fourth round that's going there now is Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks is, I don't know why people are undervaluing him. Like, I've never been a big Brandon Cooks guy, but knowing that he's falling into the fourth round is like the 16th wide receiver off the board is somewhat crazy. And I say that because, like, I've charted the whole boom bust and everything between series. Like, so he puts the same numbers as like Larry Fitzgerald, Brandon Marshall, Demaryius Thomas throughout their careers, and he gets no respect. Like, it's going to be his second year in that offense, in LA. We've talked about the fact that if Todd Gurley's workload gets dialed back, a lot of those targets are going to go towards the wide receivers. Cooper Kupp's coming back from an ACL. Robert Woods has to move back to the perimeter. Brandon Cooks is a phenomenal football player, and like he's worth a third round pick. So to get a value like him in the fourth round, it just kind of seems like a no-brainer. Like, no matter where he goes, and I know he's played with some of the best quarterbacks in the game, but no matter where he goes, he's always a top 15 wide receiver, which calls for a pick in the top 3 rounds.
Wide receiver 12, wide receiver 8, wide receiver 7, wide receiver 13. I don't know why we're expecting that to change this year. I mean, he's still extremely young. He's 25 years old, guys. Brandon Cooks is a top 12 receiver on my board. And I didn't mention him here, Tags. He's not on my list for round 4 because I'm taking him in the third round in a lot of cases. I'm taking Chris Carson as my guy. Jake, let's do yours first, though.
Yeah, so this entire round here has a lot of guys. I like the Cooks call. I like Edelman. Obviously, if he's healthy, I have his fringe wide receiver 1. If you look at Mark Ingram, I think he's disrespected. I like Chris Godwin, of course. But I'm going to go all the way to 48, which I'm surprised that Mike didn't say because it's his Chicago Bears out there and David Montgomery. Although Josh Jacobs was in here. I really thought about it. Everybody knows my love of Josh Jacobs at this point. I felt like that's just his redundancy. But David Montgomery, the fact is he's top 20 running back. It's not even a concern in my mind. And I have a question in my mind because let's just talk about him compared to Jordan Howard. And just the basic facts are he's a better running back than Jordan Howard. Okay, that being said, Jordan Howard had 270 touches last year. If that's his floor, which we assume is the floor because the Bears know and agree that David Montgomery is better than Jordan Howard, and that's why they drafted him. And that's for all the people out there, Mike Davis. Yeah, Mike Davis was fun at the time. I was a Mike Davis fan of this, or fan of the Mike Davis signing at the time, but I compare that similar to when Latavius Murray was signed by the Vikings and then they drafted Dalvin Cook. Sometimes you make those moves before the draft because you don't know how the draft's going to shake out. David Montgomery is there. The floor is 270 touches. The floor of Jordan Howard's production is his floor, in my opinion, and I think he's a top 20 running back.
Jordan Howard, RB9, RB10, RB20 in this offense. And I think Montgomery is going to get, you know, just as many touches as Jordan Howard right from the get-go. This is a good, safe call. And I think he's got a lot of upside because this is an offense that's getting a lot better. You know, every expert that we have that comes on that always does really well in the accuracy rankings, by the way, I didn't mention, Jake is always in the top five. He's finished number one in multiple sports. Jake is as accurate as you will find. Every time we get one of these really accurate experts coming on, they're always talking about David Montgomery. Guys, it's pretty telling.
Yeah, I like Montgomery. I think the love's going to get out of control, though. Like, I'm just saying that Tariq Cohen is there. It's a real thing. Like, Tariq Cohen's not going to lose a role. And then Mike Davis is better than Jordan Howard as an all-around running back. Mike Davis has continued to talk about, you know, being on the field, that all three of them are going to get work. Mike Davis is at the top of the depth chart right now. Again, I expect David Montgomery to lead this team in carries. I do. But I also think that Mike Davis is going to get more work than people think. And I think, honestly, Mike Davis is one of the best values in fantasy drafts right now. He's going outside the top 200, which means he's not being drafted. Tell me why he's not as valuable as Damian Harris. Like, tell me why he's not as valuable as Daryl Henderson. Because, like, this guy, if something were to happen to David Montgomery, all of a sudden, he walks into that Jordan Howard role that Jordan Howard finishes a top 20 running back in PPR formats. Mike Davis is a better receiver. He can get it done just as Jordan Howard did on the ground. I don't know why people are devaluing Mike Davis, but I like Montgomery. I would not draft him in the fourth round.
So I kind of cheated here. I didn't go with a guy who's being drafted in the fourth round. I'm going with a guy that I'm drafting in every single fourth round, unless Brandon Cooks falls. But usually I'm taking Brandon Cooks in the third round because I've got him ranked over pretty much not everyone there. Like, if Leonard Fournette's there, I'm taking him. If Devonta Freeman's there, I'm taking him. And then it's Brandon Cooks' time for me. So I've been taking Chris Carson in the fourth round, 80% of my drafts that I've been doing lately. His ADP right now is RB24. I've got him RB15. I understand there's some concerns about the knee, but right now he's healthy. And right now he's the clear-cut RB1. I know Rashad Penny's there, but Tags, we've talked about it before. Mike Davis left. Mike Davis touched the ball 10 times a game. If all that goes to Penny and Carson just keeps his own role, Chris Carson was a top 15 running back last year, and towards the close of the season, he was a top 5 running back. He's got bonkers potential here in this offense that's extremely run heavy. Jake, where do you have Chris Carson ranked? Are you down on him?
No, I'm actually pretty high on Chris Carson. RB 15 on the nose in half point PPR.
So do you have him over David Montgomery?
Yes, I have him over David Montgomery, Kerryon Johnson, Marlon Mack, Fournette, Aaron Jones. Yes.
I love that. Jake, I'm so happy you said that, man.
The only way he doesn't finish there is the health. It's the concern about the health. And it's, look, Chris Carson has been banged up. If you don't want to take that risk, I don't blame you. And then one of the biggest things that we all, I know you both say it, I continue to hammer it down everybody's throats, is we're talking about it right now. We're talking about ADP. He's the 49th player off the board. You don't have to take him as the 15th running back. I mean, you could probably wait and take him as the 20th running back and still get him before everybody else is ready to take him. So always look at ADP despite the fact of, like, we might be higher on somebody in our rankings.
So is that who you were going to go with in the fifth round, or do you have somebody else in that range that you like?
I was thinking about it, but in the fifth round, no, I was actually going wide receiver, and I'm going with somebody who people forgot, seemingly, maybe because of the back injury, maybe because it took a little time for him to catch on, maybe because he was lost in the mix, but that Mike Williams was in the conversation to be the top wide receiver in that draft class with Corey Davis. Now, the consensus was Corey Davis, but Mike Williams was at least in the conversation, and there were a handful of people out there who were making that statement. I wasn't one of them, just saying that. for context and to point out the fact that the worst case scenario about Mike Williams was that he could be a great red zone threat. Well, look at the fact of how many vacated opportunity targets, everything, especially if Melvin Gordon's out. And I know Eckler and Justin Jackson are going to pick up a mix of that backfield, but you're talking about being the number two in this offense, even with Hunter Henry for a full season, even with, there's still an opportunity for 30 plus passing touchdowns on this team. And if that's the case, it wouldn't surprise me if not only Mike Williams gets close to double digits, but possibly even leads the team over Keenan Allen and Hunter Henry in touchdowns and is a wide receiver too.
What is his upside? Like, should Keenan Allen be worried about no longer being the wide receiver one? Is Mike Williams that good in your mind, Jake?
I think that his ceiling could potentially push Keenan Allen, but similar to, I'm going to compare it back to the day of Larry Fitzgerald and Anquan Boldin when they were playing together, as in, who cares? They're both top 15 wide receivers. I mean, look at Crabtree and Cooper were both top 15 wide receivers with Derek Carr with the Raiders a couple years ago. So we go to the Packers every single year, seemingly. It's always two, except for last season, obviously. But it doesn't really matter if Keenan Allen is like loses a little bit. Keenan Allen can still be a wide receiver one, and Mike Williams can still be a top 20 wide receiver. And guess what? To speak of the Packers and go back to the days of the one season that they actually had a good... Well, actually, let's bring up the Saints with Jimmy Graham. You can have two wide receivers in the top 15 and still have a tight end one on the same team. It can work when you have a volume passing offense like the Chargers do.
So, Tex, I know you're pretty high on Mike Williams as well. I'm a little bit worried about Hunter Henry coming there because I'm a big Hunter Henry guy. Keenan Allen, Austin Eckler, Melvin Gordon. But I do like Mike Williams too. So does this mean that Phillip Rivers, we're maybe overlooking him a little bit, Tex?
I don't know, because he offers nothing on the ground, and that's always the concern with Rivers. Like, he had a good year last year. Like, his totals were good, but he was a high-end QB too, and that's what he's been. I understand that he's been like a top 12 or top, I think it's like top 14 quarterback in like 8 of the last 9 years or something like that, but again, you're sacrificing upside to draft someone like them. He's a streamer, and he's fine at that, but he offers nothing with his legs, which is going to cap his upside as a passer. So I like Mike Williams an awful lot. Bobby, you already stole my mind from this round. It was Chris Carson.
Add on to it, baby.
Yeah, because the thing is like, so you're talking about where you draft them. I'm talking about values in terms of, like, Chris Carson's being drafted in the fifth round. That's my fifth round value. Like, if you can get Chris Carson there, I've actually moved him all the way up to my number 13 running back.
13?
I am all in on Chris Carson.
Oh, man. So the three of us on this show, we might be the highest experts on Chris Carson.
I've moved him up. I moved him into the tier with Leonard Fournette and Joe Mixon. I'm like, I'm all in.
So ahead of Devonta Freeman?
I have him ahead of Devonta Freeman. Freeman's in the next tier for me. I like Aaron Jones. I feel like his upside is there as well, but it's not going to be a team that runs nearly as much as Seattle does. And it's basically, it comes down to, if Chris Carson's healthy, I believe he's a top 12 running back. And most people don't know, he didn't even take over the starting job until week 3 last year. So from week 3 to week 17 in points per game, he was a top 10 running back. And like, there was some weeks in there where he obviously didn't get a massive workload because he was pulled due to an injury. But the upside is absolutely there with Carson.
I'm looking at his rankings right now. You can see 100 plus analyst rankings. And you can also just sort it, and it shows you their expert accuracy as well. We're in some good company right now. A lot of the guys, Bill Enright in the top 10, Scott Pianowski, Walter Sierpinski from Walter Football, all these guys are among the highest with us on Chris Carson. It's exciting, man. I think that we're going to get a great value here in Chris Carson.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, if you want to check out these rankings as we're going through them and see ADP, you can find it at fantasypros.com/rankings. When we talk about ECR, that's the expert consensus ranking. So you mash all the analysts in the industry together, and it gives you a consensus of what the experts in the industry think. And then ADP is obviously what the general public thinks, because that's where they're drafting them. So we're going by ADP right now. And in the fifth round, I'm going with Sony Michel. I would love to get a running back in round one, maybe Todd Gurley at the end, or Nick Chubb. And then my number two and number three running backs, Chris Carson in round four, Sony Michel in round five. Sony Michel's a lot like Chris Carson in that we're a little bit worried about his knee. Yeah, they went out and got Damian Harris, and so, you know, there's some concern there. But I've talked about this before. In 16 games last year, including the playoffs, 1,267 rushing yards, 12 touchdowns. Nobody else in football did both of those things. They're saying he's going to catch the ball like Chris Carson this year. I think there's a lot of upside here, and yeah, there's risk, but you know what? If you can get James White or Latavius Murray as your RB4, you can take some risk.
Yeah.
All right, Jake, who do you have in round six?
Nobody. I don't like round six. Like, I'm looking at the ADP right now, and there's nobody screaming off the page to say, oh, I'm a value. I mean, we could say Lamar Miller for the fact that Deonta Foreman's gone, but you can make that argument that Lamar Miller is 30th running back at 70 is somewhat of a value. And I think that would have to be my pick out of this entire group. I think James White is still being disrespected for what he does every single year. So there's a few in here, but and then again, like Hunter Henry, whatever, but it's fine. Like none of them are amazing values, but I guess I would have to lean Lamar Miller.
Tags, you're going with James White.
James White is my pick for a million reasons that I believe if you're in like even a half PPR format.
I want you to list all of them.
Yeah, I think he's like a guy that fifth round should be the latest he goes. Like if you wanted to tell me you wanted to take him at the end of the fourth, yeah, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I don't think I would quite take him there. In PPR, yeah, I'm definitely taking him in the fourth. I don't think he'll even last to the fifth round in PPR, but half PPR, yeah, he's dropping to the sixth round in a lot of cases, and that's nuts to me. I've got him as my RB23. He's who I was going to say. I'm going to throw out another name. I don't love the value, but he's the only guy in this round that I wouldn't mind getting if he drops just a little bit. I actually tweeted about it earlier today. It's Hunter Henry. And the reason I want him is because of his upside. Now, it might not be that exciting. If he plays 16 games, I think he'll be a tight end one. But I also think he has tight end number one or number two upside. He's had 115 career targets. Yeah, he's coming off the major injury, but listen to what he's done in those. Okay, so what I did was I took some great tight ends, Zach Ertz, Travis Kelce, Gronk, the greatest tight end of all time in fantasy, and I put them per 115 targets. Hunter Henry has more receptions than all of them. Second most yards behind Gronkowski. The most touchdowns, and the second most fantasy points just by two behind Gronkowski. And Hunter Henry did it as a kid. This guy has bonkers potential. I don't want him in the sixth round, but if he drops to the seventh, oh, I'm taking him for sure. Otherwise, I'm just going to play the streaming game at tight end.
What do you think about that, Jake?
Hunter Henry?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm very high on Hunter Henry. Actually, I think I have him at five, and he's part of the reason where everybody keeps asking, what will you do to Kelce? Would you consider him at the turn? Would you consider Kittle? Like, I'm not drafting any of the big three because I like the second three so much, that being Evan Engram and Hunter Henry and O.J. Howard, all three of them. And I'm fully on board. And to be honest with you, if it's not like I don't think this is a crazy statement to even say is I don't think Keenan Allen leads this team in touchdowns. I think it's either Mike Williams or Hunter Henry. And it wouldn't be a surprise if like Keenan Allen is even third. And it's not the fact that Keenan Allen's a bad player for this fantasy season. He can still put up 1,200 yards and six touchdowns, but it's very conceivable that you could see Hunter Henry get you 800 yards and 10, and you could see Mike Williams get like 1,011. Like that's why it's the touchdown numbers to what you just brought up. If you go back and look at Phillip Rivers over the career, his touchdown numbers to tight ends is only second to Tom Brady over the past 7-8 years, somewhere around there.
Sure. Yeah, that's a really good stat. Hey guys, we're going to get to the seventh round here in just a second, but before we do, let's talk about Pristine Auction. So Tex, we've got this contest going on thanks to Pristine Auction that ends on Friday night. We're giving away a signed full-size George Kittle San Francisco 49ers helmet. You can enter for this at fantasypros.com/contest. And don't forget to get your entries in. And maybe we've got another one coming too. And it really helps when you guys sign up and use that registration code fantasypros, all one word, at pristineauction.com. You'll get $5 off your first purchase at pristineauction.com. And it tells them, hey, we're sending people to your site. That way we can keep doing giveaways like this. Pristine Auction has all kinds of great values. Everything's guaranteed authentic from the most trusted sources. They've got hundreds of items that go for bid every single day.
Yeah, and me personally, I actually just ordered something the other day, and it's something I did not realize they had. Bobby, you're gonna love this one. I got a Ken Griffey Jr. Upper Deck rookie card. It's like one of those like classic baseball cards that I never had. Like for whatever reason, I don't know what happened to the ones I collected as a kid, but I ordered it on there for an extremely, extremely good price. Like I can't give it away, but go and check it out.
That's terrific, man. And again, that's pristineauction.com, P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, auction.com. And use that registration code, fantasypros, all one word, for $5 off. All right, Tags, on to you for round seven. Who are you going with this time?
Round seven, I have Rashad Penny. He's a guy that I'm definitely okay with this in this range. You're talking about the guy that you're getting as your RB3 or your flex. Your bench isn't quite there yet, but Penny is someone that you can grab for your RB3 or flex spot and play him. Even if there's no injury to Chris Carson, this team ran the ball 32.8 times per game last year. That's not even counting for the receptions that they pile up. You know, Mike Davis leaving freed up 10 touches per game in this offense. So we talk about Tyler Lockett and the fact that we think his target ceiling is limited. Where are these targets going? Some are going to be funneled to the running backs. There's no tight end on this roster that they're going to be targeting 100 times. You know, Will Disley, Nick Vinette, no. Rashad Penny comes with RB1 upside if something happened to Carson, or if for whatever reason Seattle's like, you know, we drafted this guy in the first round, we should probably give him a bigger run. All of a sudden, Rashad Penny has RB1 upside, which is where I'm borderlining there with Chris Carson. The reason I'm not willing to put him inside the top 10 with Chris Carson is because Rashad Penny is there, so I have to lower him a little bit. But Rashad Penny, this late in drafts, I love it. Because because I think his floor is this range and his ceiling is obviously much higher.
We've seen a lot of teams produce two running backs who are RB1 and RB2. We saw the Saints 2 years ago produce RB3 and RB6 overall. These things do happen. If Seattle's going to pass the ball just 427 times again this year, yeah, there's an opportunity there for both of them to produce. Absolutely. Man, this round is so ugly. Who are you going with, Jake?
There's actually a beautiful pick here, and it's not really, people will probably expect me to say Rashad Penny, and I like the pick of Rashad Penny for everything that Mike said, and it's one of these, I wrote the dumpster diving from last year, and Penny's one of them. Like, you got burned by him last year. A good part of that was probably me along other experts pumping him up, and you know, I moved him down before the season came because he was hurt, he was overweight, he was missing time, so you had to move him down, even if you loved him. But to Mike's point, everything is correct, but there's one that I like even more than him, and there's one that if you're in a draft with me, it's not even he's just going the round before this. He's probably going two rounds before we even get here because...
Miles Sanders?
No. Christian Kirk should not be 77. Christian Kirk is an insane value. He's a terrific talent who last year, I was saying when he came out, is people thought he was destined to be buried behind Fitzgerald because he needs to stay in the slot and not realizing that he can play outside, has the skill to play outside, and can win outside. Now, he's not the best at that, but he's somebody that can do enough at both and get mixed around and moved around. And especially if we're talking about this offense, if you're talking about people, forget the fact that like whether or not you believe in Kirk. If you believe in Kyle Murray and Kingsbury and this offense and blah, 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 blah. If you believe in all that, it has to go somewhere. It's not LaFerrish. Fitzgerald's not going to come back and have 1,300 yards at this point of his career. I have Christian Kirk as my wide receiver 22, and ooh, I think he nears 1,000 yards this season.
Oh, man. So you guys took the only two guys in this round that I like whatsoever. I'm looking at everybody here, and it's like my whole bust list. Robbie Anderson, Eric Ebron, Darius Geis, Jared Cook, Will Fuller. I'm just reading straight down the list. All those guys. Dante Pettis. Some people are taking the Bears defense in the eighth. Come on, guys. Jordan Howard, Russell Wilson. I don't want any of them. In round seven, every single draft I'm doing, I'm taking Latavius Murray without hesitation. I've talked about this before. Mark Ingram was drafted in the top 50 last year, despite a four-game suspension. And Murray's coming in, same exact role. We've seen it in the preseason. He's a better goal line runner. I think Latavius Murray should be drafted in the top 50 without hesitation, but he's being drafted right now number 91. So I guess I'm cheating again here. He's going in the eighth round. I'm taking him in the sixth and the seventh round all the time.
I'm still stuck on the fact that people are drafting the Bears defense that high. I don't even know what to say.
That's all you could focus on.
Jake, what do you think about Latavius Murray?
I think it's a terrific. He's one of, similar to Daryl Henderson, Rashad Penny. There's a few handcuffs out there that have standalone value. And that's, if you look at Latavius Murray, he has standalone value because of where he is, completely because of where he is, let alone the fact that he's the handcuff of standalone value, whose ceiling is arguably top five, at least top 10, if something were to happen in front of him with Kamara. So I'm with you. I think Latavius Murray, for his situation and what we've seen before, that he can handle in roles from Oakland to last year and the year before and replacing Dalvin Cook. So I think it's a great pick. I have a lot of Latavius Murray shares myself.
You know, we're going to have to disagree eventually. Maybe it's in round eight. Who are you going with, Jake?
I'm going with Sterling Shepard. I understand his fingers messed up right now, but all the reports are he probably out there upcoming next week for week three of the preseason. Even if he doesn't, it's week four. Like, he's not going to play that much. It's similar to a situation like, who cares? He's still playing with Eli Manning. Eli Manning and Sterling Shepard know each other well enough that I don't even care if Sterling Shepard's on the field. I just want him healthy for week one. Golden Tate is out for the first 4 weeks. I know Barkley is going to see 100 and some odd targets out of the backfield, but so is Sterling Shepard out of the wide receivers position. He's going to see 100 plus targets. That's a fact, unless he gets hurt or the thumb is not healthy. Like, he's going to see well over 100 targets, even with Evan Ingram. Whatever it is, they're going to be there. So even if he only catches 55% of them because Eli Manning's terrible and Daniel Jones actually comes in at some point and can't connect, even if that, he still ends up being a top 30 wide receiver just on 60 catches, 800 yards, and like five or six touchdowns. So that's, to me, feels like a floor. And if he's being drafted as the 37th, 38th wide receiver at the back end of the eighth round, like, that's just, this is insane to me.
It's not sexy at all. I'm not going to argue with that one, though, man. It's a good call. By the way, is your dog named Barkley?
Yes.
Okay, so you've got Barkley. Tags has Mitch Trubisky. I said, almost had Mitch Tagliere. So if I had a dog, I would probably name him, I guess, Boone, for Mike Boone. Is that right, Tags?
That's about right, yeah.
Yeah. Man, I can't wait to watch Mike Boone.
But do we have to go down that road again? Don't you want to actually like a good player that's relevant?
All right, Jags, who are you taking here in round 8? I've got two of them, so why don't you do me a favor and take one of them so I only have to talk about one.
I have Latavius Murray as like a borderline one because it just depends on what site you're on, but yeah, that's definitely a great call. Sterling Shepard's actually a good one too. I like that call, but I'll go down to Jameis Winston. I'll say that he's a value this late. You know, he's being drafted outside the top 12 fantasy quarterbacks, and if your league is one that you're like, you're panicking because they're drafting, you know, 5 quarterbacks in the first 2 rounds, don't worry about that. Like, if Jameis Winston falls down there into round 9 or whatever it is, like, I'm okay with taking him there. You probably don't need to. If you're in a league where it's just like everybody waits at quarterback, like I literally got a tweet today. I put out my quarterback tiers and rankings. I got a tweet today from someone saying, explain yourself. Jameis Winston chokes in every game. Tom Brady's the greatest of all time. And I'm like, bro,
I've seen that tweet a dozen times about Jameis Winston. Like, dude, chill out, man.
Do we really have to have this conversation? Like, is that something we actually have to do? But yeah, so like, stop. Yeah, stop over. I mean, I guess if someone else, I would put someone else in this. Like, Curtis Samuel is definitely someone I would put in that conversation as well.
Sure. So I mentioned I have two. I'm not including Latavius Murray because I'm taking him around earlier. Corey Davis just by target share alone. Again, not sexy. Maybe he has some upside, 30-year wide receiver with a lot of talent. But for me, the main one I want to talk about here is Cam Newton, who's going in the 8th round. I like him. I'm a Jameis Winston guy, but I like Cam Newton quite a bit more. Remember, he was QB4 going into the injury last year. Apparently, he's healthy. He still runs the ball enough. He's got the best weapons he's ever had in his career with DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, Christian McCaffrey. I'm not putting Greg Olsen in that tier. Some others will. But I think Cam Newton's going to have another good year. Every year he's played 16 games, he's been a QB4 or better. And right now he's going as QB10 in the 8th round. I don't love early round quarterbacks, but you know, if I'm getting to the 8th round and Cam Newton's in there, I'll pull the trigger.
I'm laughing because I have so much Cam Newton. Like we do, is we drafted a lot early. There was actually a time about 2 months ago where I was taking Cam Newton in like the 12th and Kyler Murray in the 14th and just laughing. That's obviously not happening anymore because Kyler Murray is going way in front of him now. But I still have him as a top 5 quarterback as you do, because people are scared off by the injury. And that's, of course, a concern, you know, but everything is healthy as of today. And yes, can he get hurt again? Sure. But so can Carson Wentz. So can, I mean, look at Andrew Luck right now. I mean, we can go down the list. Like any quarterback at any point can get hurt. There are some that have made it, like Drew Brees at this point. It's like, good God, like how he's stayed healthy his entire career, testament. Eli Manning, of all people. But, you know, it's injuries are injuries. And yes, somebody who runs is going to be more susceptible to them. But I'm not going to play that game when quarterback's so replaceable on the waiver wire. Whereas what you just said, Bobby, if Cam Newton is healthy and plays 60, actually just 15, even if he sits a game or misses one, if he plays 15 games, he's probably still snipping at the heels of the top 5.
Yep, I definitely agree with that. Guys, we've got one more round. Tags, you're going to start us off here. Then we're going to Fantasy Feud, so you better get warmed up now.
I guess I shouldn't have jumped ahead to Jameis Winston because it was kind of like moving into that round.
Now you're going to go with Justin Tucker, the second kicker off the board in the 9th round.
God, come on, guys. I mean, this is where people...
What's a Justin Tucker?
What is Justin Tucker?
Yeah, yes.
So, for me, I guess you can look at Larry Fitzgerald. He's a guy that, you know, Christian Kirk, I like for sure. The question mark is like, you know, is he ready? You know, coming back from that injury, is there the chemistry built? I just feel like Larry Fitzgerald is one of the safest players to grab in drafts. Kirk has more upside, absolutely. But I think Larry Fitzgerald comes back for a season because he has a role on the team. They wanted him back for it. Obviously, Cliff Kingsbury, you know, coming there, they're going to run a lot of 4 wide receiver sets. But I have a feeling with that offensive line, the state that it's in, I think Larry Fitzgerald will be the safety valve for Kyler Murray when he's about to get killed. So Larry Fitzgerald, he just continues to put up top 36 wide receiver seasons. You don't draft him because you think you're getting upside, but you draft him because you know you're going to get consistent wide receiver 3 production.
Tags, you're playing it safe, man. And you know what? That's going to lead to a title. That's the way that fantasy football works. So, okay, Jake, who do you have here in round 9? Your last mid-round value.
So I'm going to play by the rules and stay in round 9. I'm not going to jump down around like Mike did before with round 8 because I jumped
because I was like, well, Jameis Winston, I got to mention him.
And that's fair. And that's the thing is like, so like to throw out names, like I would love to talk about Daryl Henderson or, I mean, I'm looking at these guys after like Ronald Jones, the fact that he's still going that late, Geronimo Allison and Lamar Jackson. There's so many after this round, but to stay in this round specifically, I'm just going to take Royce Freeman. Like this is another one, dumpster dive from last year. People are ticked off because they're burned by him. There were some people in the industry that were very high on him. And deservedly so. You know, everything coming out of college was he was going to be the man. And everything coming out of college, even the most, The people who were talking up Philip Lindsay the most still said maybe he can carve out a passing down role. Like, those were the biggest supporters of Philip Lindsay. Nobody on earth, even probably his family, thought Philip Lindsay was going to do what Philip Lindsay did. So I think if you look at the BMI, the concerns of like the player of his size and getting hurt if he touches the ball that much is something that, you know, you again, I just said before, I don't like to play into injuries, but NFL teams will be cognizant of that. And I don't think you're going to see the same workload from Lindsay this year. And now that Theo Riddick is back out of the picture, that just helps Lindsay get his passing game work back, where I think Royce Freeman still is going to touch the ball and carries more, get those short yardage. I think this could be the poor man's version of the Saints, of looking at Kamara and, well, now Latavius Murray, but previously to that, Mark Ingram. It's going to be the poor man's version of that. So Royce Freeman has standalone value and some upside if Lindsay gets hurt again.
Jake, I appreciate your principle, but I'm not staying in the ninth round. We've got two kickers and a defense here. N'Keal Harry. I would have loved Kiki QT or Golden Tate, but at this point, I'll take them later if they fall. For me, I'm reaching for Geronimo Allison in the ninth round. I feel like he's the last of a certain tier of wide receiver who I wouldn't mind having as my wide receiver 3 or my wide receiver 4 that I'm putting in the flex. I think you can play Geronimo Allison pretty much every week. He's going to be the number 2 in Green Bay, playing in that slot for Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers actually has 2 legs this year. So I've got Geronimo Allison as my wide receiver 29. And after that, it just gets ugly pretty quick.
It does.
You mentioned Geronimo Allison as well, Jake. You're drafting him quite a bit.
I see. I was a fan of his talent-wise. As in, when I wrote him up coming out of college, I said, hey, I could see him going in the 6th, 7th round, and I could see him as somebody that develops in 2 or 3 years with the right team and in the right role. And that's exactly why I like them. And I'm not saying that to be like, oh, look at me, I called this or whatever. Like, he could have ended up on the wrong team. And the fact is, if they would have wanted to play him outside permanently, I wouldn't have liked him. And I compared it on our podcast. I'm going to bring up the exact same thing. I said it's Michael Thomas with the Saints. Obviously, he's not Michael Thomas's talent. Obviously, it's not the same upside. But when Michael Thomas came out of college, I said he's a big slot receiver that fits perfectly in the old Marquise Colston role. If Michael Thomas was on another team, if he was with Cam Newton, I don't know that Michael Thomas is as good playing outside all the time with Cam Newton. That's what I like about Geronimo Allison. He's going to be in that slot role, filling that needed spot that Randall Cobb has kind of like lost, especially because of injuries and what with the wear and tear that he had. But with Aaron Rodgers and this offense, again, LaFleur might change some things, and that's why you take the flyer in Marquez Valdes-Scantling as well. But as of right now, the role he's fit in this system and his ability for that role and with Aaron Rodgers is why I like him so much.
All right, guys, we're going to move on over to Fantasy Feud here in just a moment. But before we did, I wanted to remind you all, our YouTube is youtube.com/fantasypros. Check out our videos. Like, I've got my top 5 deep sleepers tags. You've come out with a few as well. We're also doing live streams, Q&As every single week. Tags does one on Monday or Tuesday. I do one on Fridays. If you subscribe, you'll get notifications for all those so you don't miss out on any of our future content. And also, we've got a shop now on fantasypros.com where you can get some cool shirts. Tags, can you tell them about it?
Yeah, I actually have a few of those shirts. We have a paint it and butter shirt for whatever reason. I've never heard of anybody like putting butter on pizza. I've never heard anything about it, but there's apparently a shirt that we have about it. They've made some for the podcast for you guys to support the podcast. And best of all, it is so affordable, guys. We've made it so that everybody can go out there and get a t-shirt. Like, think about it. If you went to like Walmart and got a shirt for like $13, you'd be pretty psyched because you're like, where do I get a shirt for $13? We have them on our site, and they're actually high-quality things. Order one, and then if I'm wrong, yell at me on Twitter. But I promise you'll love it.
Yeah, it's actually really comfortable. I was surprised when I got it because I was like, $13? This cannot be a quality shirt. It's awesome, man. It's really comfortable.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, and you can find that at shop.fantasypros.com. All right, guys, Fantasy Feud time, and Tags is finally going down because I got Jake on my team. And here's how it works for those of you guys listening at home, okay? So we're going to do a head-to-head round. So we've got 4 questions here, and so the first person to buzz in, you buzz in with your name. So Tags, you said Tags, Jake, you said Jake, and whoever gets it first gets to answer the question first. And if you get the number 1 answer on the board, you get to decide if you want to play or pass. If not, then Tags gets his chance because, Jake, I'm assuming you're going to buzz in first and get the number 1 answer just like Joe did in the last podcast, right, Tags?
Yeah, good luck with that. Good luck with that. Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, you guys didn't have time off air where you could have, slid him the answer. I mean, there is still DMs.
I mean, I could have done it before the show.
It's very possible. I don't trust anyone.
The last time we did this, Joe talked me into cheating, and Joe still lost. So that's why we didn't have him back on and we called you so that you can beat Tags this time. So there's going to be six answers for each one. If you get all six, then obviously you're going to get a ton of points. Then at the end, we're going to do something called the Fast Money Round where we have five questions really quick. You've got 35 seconds to answer them and we'll total up the points. So you guys ready to roll?
Ready.
If that's any type of like history trivia, Mike, that's where you're going to, if I'm in a lead, you're going to make up so much ground there. I'm terrible. Like, I do this all the time. People are like, in the chat, they're like, name your four favorite late round sleepers. And all of a sudden my brain's like, too many names, shut down, can't name one.
Yeah, yes. Pretty much. I know I have the same exact thing sometimes.
Yeah, my advice would just be to pull up the rankings. Again, that's fantasypros.com/rankings. That we've got it all there in front of you in case your brain's dumped. Because I do this before we do every single show just to see like what it's going to be like, what's actually going to be interesting to talk about.
That's not one of the questions though, is it, right? I mean, like there's no ADP question, right?
We'll see as we're going along, but
Scout Honor or whatever, I'll close the tab if we have an ADP question.
Okay. Sounds like a plan. So, you know, a lot of this is going to be surprising because you have to consider it's not what you would do. It's what the general public answered. So let's go with the first one here. Buzz in with your name. Name an NFL team you're completely avoiding on draft day.
Tags.
Barkley.
Tags. You got it.
No, I got him first. I said Barkley just because I wanted to say my dog's name.
The Giants. Oh, no. Never mind. Go ahead.
Too late. I was in first anyway. Go ahead.
That is worth 0 points. Jake, can you beat that?
Wow.
Yes. The Dolphins.
The Dolphins are the number three answer on the board. 20 points.
All right. So, Jake, are you going to pass or play, Jake?
I am playing.
Yeah. Okay, you're playing. You need to get five of them. You've got three strikes.
Three strikes?
I'm going to say the question one more time. Name an NFL team you're completely avoiding on draft day.
Washington Redskins.
Number two, 20 points again.
I will say the Baltimore Ravens, actually.
Nope, not on the board. Not
I know Mark
six.
Ingram, but I figured because everything else.
Yeah, I said the Baltimore Ravens, too. I was pretty surprised by that one. I think the public failed us there.
I'll try. How many? There's six answers?
Yeah, you need to get four more, and you've got two more strikes.
So Dolphins there. We'll say the Raiders, maybe? No, Antonio Brent.
Yeah, Raiders aren't on the board. No,
God,
that's two strikes. Need to get four in a row here.
I'm trying, but that's the thing is like now every single team I think of has
right
people.
That's what was me with the Giants. I was like, oh God, you're kidding.
Yep.
I'll say the Titans.
The Titans are on the board. Number five, worth 4 points. Not a big point getter, but at least it kept you alive. And Tags will get a chance to steal your points if you get another strike. And so you're taking opportunities from him.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure. I might not answer it, but I'm rooting for you.
When did you ask this?
We asked this less than a week ago.
All right, timer's expiring.
No, what do you mean timer's expiring? I was in the middle of asking a question.
Yeah, it's true. You got five more seconds. I'm sorry, Jake.
Okay. The Jacksonville Jaguars?
No, they're off. So three strikes, Tags. You have
what?
Three opportunities here. Yeah, the Jags are a great one.
I have one opportunity to steal the points here. And
yes, you do. Don't blow.
I'm going with the Buffalo Bills.
No, not on the board.
What?
Man. I'm kidding. Oh, you're the number like, one answer, you big dork.
Oh, man. I was like, who is drafting Bills?
Josh Allen, that's the dumbest answer ever. You people are stupid.
So, Tags, you have, let's see here, 84 points. This is not a
John
good start.
Brown
Come on,
Josh
Jake.
Allen.
I don't want to draft those guys.
No, I'm not interested in them either. All right.
You're just as stupid as your listeners.
Okay, so here's the other answers, okay? You guys missed the Jets, the number four answer on the board for 7 points.
That's another dumb answer.
I had them ready next.
Yeah, I'm really surprised. You said the Jags? Like, a lot more people are drafting Le'Veon Bell than Leonard Fournette. And then the Jags have no wide receivers, no tight end, no quarterback.
What about Jeff Swaim?
I like Jeff Swaim, but nobody's drafting him.
No, I don't know that any wide receiver gets to 1,000. You have Robbie Anderson alone. Robbie Anderson, Le'Veon Bell, and the Jets, and people think
right.
Whatever.
Jamison Crowder might catch 90 passes. And then the sixth answer on the board that nobody said, Cincinnati Bengals. And the Cincinnati Bengals
So Joe Mixon sucks?
A.J. Green, Joe Mixon.
Tyler
yeah,
Boyd.
Some people just blew it, man. It's hard.
I should have went with my backup answer because that's the reason I asked you when you asked this question because I was thinking about the Bengals because AJ Green got hurt.
Oh, sure. Yeah. All right, guys. Next question here. Name a fantasy-related word or phrase that gets overused this time of year.
Tags.
Jake.
Sorry, Jake. Tags got it again.
Sleeper.
Sleeper. Number one answer on the board, 42. Pass or play?
Play.
Oh, bad decision. You're in big trouble here.
How many are there?
There are, you have to get five more. And I'll tell you this, the second answer on the board is only worth 5 points. So there it's really spread out
All
here.
Right. Value?
Value. Nope. Wrong.
Wow. I thought value would be there.
Dude, I got one of these six when I did the practice sessions. It's hard.
Bust.
All right, you got number six on the board. 3 points. Congratulations, Tags.
Yeah. Volume.
You better hurry. Volume. Nope. Volume was one of my answers, too.
So I have 2 strikes. Is that right?
You've got 2 strikes, and you need to get 4 more, and they're really hard.
All right.
In fact, I don't even know if Jake's going to be able to steal one, because it's just...
Ceiling.
No.
All right.
Nope. All right, so you got 3 strikes. 45 points for the taking here, Jake. You get a chance to steal, but you only get 1 guess. What are you going with?
Can you repeat the question?
Name a fantasy-related word or phrase that gets overused this time of year.
Generational talent.
I think I have one, too. I think I have
that's
one.
That's a really good one. I don't know why it's not there. Tags, what's your other guess?
Is it strategy? Would that be a word?
No. Okay, so here are the answers that you guys missed. Tags, you get another 45 points. That's okay, though, because Jake is going to kill it in the next two questions. Sure. I've got confidence
in you, man.
Not if
you keep giving Tags the tie when we both say the name at the same times.
You'll be able to hear on the podcast. It doesn't sound like a tie
to me.
Well,
that's because I'm assuming your guys' connection is quicker. You have less ping between you guys. I'm just letting you know I'm hearing Tags the same time, at least that last one.
That stinks, man. Okay.
So anyway, but go ahead. No, it's fine.
It's 129-0 right now, and here's the other answers. Number 2 on the board, ADP. Why would that be like an annoying phrase that gets overused?
Because some people don't believe in ADP. They just want to draft players based on their rankings.
I mean, but then you don't get them at the right time. Like you could, sure, Latavius Murray's a 4th round talent in my mind, but if you can get him in the 7th round, kind of important, guys.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir here. Like you should know ADP.
All right. Number 3, regression. And I should have known
that's a good
this
one.
Would be an answer because people hate when we talk about regression because I think a lot of people just don't understand that there are certain underlying stats that do not correlate to future production as well as other stats. So that's worth 4 points. Next one, Tex, you were really close. Maybe I should have given this to you. Upside, number 4, you said ceiling. Same kind of thing, but...
It's a completely different word.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it would have ruined the spirit of the game if I was giving you...
Agreed.
Yeah. So, and then the last one is breakout. That's also a really good one. I can understand how that would annoy a lot of people.
Whatever.
But yeah, generational talent, that's a really good one.
Yeah.
Because that does get overused so much, Jake.
I think that would be better at draft time, honestly.
All right, Jake, I really need you to step it up
step
here
it up.
Because we haven't said this yet, but if I lose, I have to read another poem to Tags. And when I say I lose, I'm speaking vicariously through Jake because I'm rooting for Jake here. And Tags,
hold
if
on.
You blow this, you have to read a poem to me.
I know, that's like the worst.
Well, on the flip side is now I win even if I lose. I
exactly,
like the
there you go.
All right, here we go. Question number 3, buzz in with your name. Name a running back you'd draft in standard formats but might avoid in PPR.
Jake. Okay, you definitely got me that time.
Derrick Henry.
All right. Derrick Henry, number 1 answer on the board, 23 points. Tex, you're so good at Family Feud, man. It makes me mad.
No, it's just quick on the buzzer.
It's okay. All right, I will play on this one for sure.
Yeah, this is the easiest one we've had so far. I think you might be able to get all 6.
I'm going to go Sony Michel.
Number 2 answer, 18 points.
Marlon Mack.
Marlon Mack, number 4 answer, 10 points.
Let's go with Jordan Howard.
Jordan Howard, number 3 answer, 12 points. Uh-oh. He's on a roll, people.
Royce Freeman.
Oh, strike number 1.
Now, this is where, like, perception comes into play because there's players that definitely are perceived not to do well in PPR. But they're, So I'm going to say an answer. I don't believe this one, but I'm going to say it because I think people believe it. And that's Leonard Fournette.
I knew you were going to answer him when you started saying that, and you're exactly right. Number 5 answer on the board.
That's not true
points.
At all, by the way. And then, so let's see, there's 1 more.
You got 2 tries here.
2 tries. All right, I'm going to go with Mark Ingram.
Strike number 2. There's still life here, Jake, for us.
Who do I not want to draft?
Not who do you not want to draft. Who does the public not want to draft?
That's, no, it's true. I'll say Latavius Murray.
Oh, yes. Yes, let's go, Jake. Come on, baby.
I thought I got it.
Nope.
So did I.
Why would I be excited for you? I want you to lose, dude.
No, so there's only 2 choices that are in my mind. One is complete perception, misconception, which is what I'm struggling with. And then the other one is one I would definitively not. So I'm going to go with the one I definitively not, even though I feel like the other one might be the right answer. I'm going to say Adrian Peterson.
That's a good one. It's not correct, though.
What was the other one you had, Jake?
James Conner.
James Conner is not the answer either. It is, let's see here, Lamar Miller for 5 points.
Oh, that's actually a pretty good one, to be fair.
Yeah, that is a good one, isn't it?
Yeah, that's just an oversight on my part. Like, that's actually a really good answer.
I mean, he doesn't catch a lot, but I mean, it's not like, whatever. It's not like it's just like, it's not like his value's depressed in PPR. He's still Lamar Miller. It's not like it's that much better
in
non-PPR.
Right, right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Here comes the lawn people, so you might want to hold on a second.
Oh, that's all right. 71 points for Tags. And with that question, that brings the score to 200-0 right now.
Yeah.
But the next question is worth triple the points. Let's go, Jake. You got this one, baby. All right.
No.
Number four answer. Again, it's worth triple points.
Question.
Name a player you think has exactly one fantasy relevant season left in him.
Tag, Mike.
Go ahead.
Larry Fitzgerald.
Tags, are you kidding me?
What?
Every single time you get the number one answer, are you cheating right now? Are you looking at the same spreadsheet?
Yo!
Three straight times.
Woo-hoo. All right, I will play.
All right, who else do you have?
Adrian Peterson's got to be on there.
He's number six, 4 points.
Antonio Brown, is he on there?
Nah, he's not. I wouldn't have been surprised if people said him, but.
You can't ask if he's on there. is he on there? Okay, then never mind.
Yeah, I'm not gonna take him then. Forget about that. No. All right, LeSean McCoy.
No. He has zero left.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Oof. All right. I'm gonna go with DeSean Jackson.
No, he's not on there. Dude, you're struggling. What is going on here?
Jake, you're up, dude.
That was three already?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Jake, you've got four possible answers here.
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, yeah, Jake. Oh, let's go,
dude.
Baby.
Come on.
All right, Tom Brady was worth 8 points, and since it's triple, that's worth 24. So let me – oh, Jake, you are coming back, baby. 36. All right, 148 points this round just by those three.
Was Drew Brees there too?
Yeah, Drew Brees is the number two answer. Why don't you keep going? Why don't you try to get the other two?
All right, so Drew Brees, Tom Brady. I was going
to – I'm not going to get – I can't give you points for this. I wish that I could, but –
No, you're fine. Jimmy Graham?
No, that's a great one, though.
Oh, all right, so who are the other two, then?
The other two, Julian Edelman, 5.
Oh, that's a good one.
Kind of surprising. I mean, I know he's 33, but I think he'll be good next year. And then this one is a shocker. I was really hoping Tags would really quick get the first 5 and then just be stuck on this last one, because who in the world would guess this? Guys, listen to this. Todd Gurley.
What?
I mean,
five people said
that
Todd
makes me feel
Gurley.
Better about my answers, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
I mean, I can understand that's a perception, like, as in his knee just might be toast. I mean, I could get it, but
yeah, it makes sense that people would guess it. I just wouldn't guess it myself personally. So we've actually got a game here. You are closer, Jake, right now, going into Fast Money, than anyone in the history of the show has been to Tags. I've still got hope that Tags will read a poem to me. The score is 200-148 going into the Fast Money round. Here's how it's going to work. Tags, you're going to go first.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jake, you're going to do earmuffs while Tags is going. All right, we've got 5 questions. You ready, Tags?
Yep.
In what week should the fantasy trade deadline be held?
Week 10.
Week 10. All right. What is the perfect length of time per pick in an online draft?
90 seconds.
90 seconds. Number 3, how many weeks prior to the start of the season do you finish your first mock draft?
4 weeks.
4 weeks, all right, that's funny. All right, using a letter grade, plus and minus included, okay? So like C plus, D minus. How would you rate your fantasy draft skills? Not you, but the public.
B plus.
Final question, in what redraft round does the player pool really start to thin out?
12.
Round 12. Okay, Jake, come on in whenever you're ready, buddy.
You good now?
Yep, you're good.
Yeah. Yeah,
all I heard was 1 second. That was more than a minute. Then.
It was. Bobby took a lot of time with
Yeah, it was my fault. I was really slow. I was like writing down answers and stuff, and I was just mad that Tags got a couple good answers in here. But you do still have a chance here, Jake. And in fact,
so do we want to let the audience know, because we've done things differently. We're now, Jake, if he says the same answer that I did, it's not going to be held against him. He's not going to have to force to re-answer another question, give another answer.
Oh, it doesn't matter anyway. I'm terrible at Fast Money.
I don't know if you have a chance. Tags did really well. You're going to have to get the number one answer on every single one of them. And first question, in what week should the fantasy trade deadline be held?
The Thanksgiving week.
Like what week? What week number?
Oh, 12.
12, okay. What is the perfect length of time per pick in an online draft?
60 seconds.
60 seconds. All right, baby, let's go. How many weeks prior to the start of the season do you finish your first mock draft? This is a very important one. Don't screw it up, Jake.
4 weeks.
Oh, no. All right.
I'm thinking about the audience. Yep.
I know. Man, that stinks. Okay. Using a letter grid plus. Yeah, that's where you could have made up the ground. Using a letter grid plus and minus included, so like C+, D-, how would you rate your fantasy draft skills?
A+.
A+. All right. And the final one. In what redraft round does the player pool really start to thin out?
8.
Okay. Jake, you did really well. I think Tags beat you barely in the fast money round. It obviously wasn't enough to catch up, but here are the answers. When should the trade deadline be? Tags, you said week 10. That was the number one answer on the board, 35%. Jake, you said the correct answer, week 12, Thanksgiving week, 18%. So that was the number two answer on the board. The other big ones, week 11, week 8, week 9. Now, what is the perfect length of time per pick in an online draft? Tags, you said 90 seconds. That's too long, because then there's people like you who take up the full 90 seconds when you could just have a queue built. Jake said the right answer again. Back-to-back correct answers by Jake. And this was the number one answer on the board, 60 seconds. 34% said that. So, Jake, you got some back there. When do you do your...
Make it 45. Be real drafters. Come on.
Yeah, 45 was the number three answer on the board. I agree with you. Some people said over 90 seconds. What is wrong with you guys? Come on.
If you know what? Don't do the draft then and don't show up.
Right. Yeah.
You're not prepared.
All right. I like that. Okay. When do you do your first mock draft? This really surprised me. You both said 4 weeks. That's what I said as well. That was only worth 11 points. Number three answer on the board. Number two answer was 8 weeks before. Most people said 10 plus weeks.
Wow.
I guess we've got some really hardcore people answering these questions. Using a letter grid, plus and minus included, how do you rate your fantasy draft skills? Jake, I thought that most people were going to say A+ like you. That was the fifth answer on the board, just 7%.
Come on, people.
The number one answer was B+, which is what you guessed, 28%.
Like, I was just crapping on you guys a second ago, but you need to have confidence in yourselves, people. Come on.
If you're using the simulator, fantasypros.com/simulator, I mean, obviously you're going to have an A+, so just get the practice in.
Or if you're just using my rankings.
Yeah, there you go. But Tags, you got the right answer. Number one, 28%. A lot of people said A- or A, B, right around there. And then the final one, when does the player pool start to thin out? Tags, you said round 12. Jake, you said round 8, which was the number one answer on the board, worth 22 points. So you didn't win, and unfortunately that means...
Read your poem.
Bobby has to read me a poem again.
Oh, wow. Okay, so this is a little bit different.
Basically, what happens is behind the scenes, they make these, and we were not able to see them. We actually both received emails while we were recording the show so that we would have to read them if we lost. So, Bobby, I can't wait to hear it.
I was going to give him one. I was going to say he should do a dramatic reading of the DuckTales theme song.
Oh, just wait. This is probably going to be priceless. The last one, like, legitimately, it was, like, one of the best shows of the year because, like, oh, the poem was so good. James.
I don't want to do this, guys.
Give it up, dude. Let's do it.
M is for magnificent, like Jupiter or Mars. I is for incredible. And Tags, that's what you are. K is for your knowledge, which is way beyond compare. E is for expertise, so precious and so rare. T is for the total domination that you just showed. A is for your accuracy. Your brain is a cheat code. G is for the graciousness you show when you destroy me. L's for all my losses, which are starting to annoy me. I is for impressed, and Tags, I am. I mean it really. E is for exasperation. Thanks for nothing, Seely. R is for respect, and Tags, you truly walk the walk. And E is for one extra effect. LeBron gonna haul Jordan's jock. No! No! So Tags and I really always like have ending. This debate. We always go back and forth on Slack because Tags, who hasn't watched basketball since Michael Jordan retired,
that's
mind
not true.
You, thinks that Michael Jordan is the greatest player of all time.
He is. It's not close.
That's because he's a smart man.
Yeah. See, yeah. Jake knows.
Well, I just had to admit that LeBron can't hold Jordan's jock, so that's what I get for putting my faith in you, Jake.
Good job. Good job, James. Thank you, James.
Oh, that was good.
Jake, we really appreciate you coming on the show. As always, it's a pleasure. And, you know, it's hard to deal with going up against someone who has so much experience on Fantasy Feud. And frankly, that's the only reason that Tags won. Like, before we're doing these podcasts, he's always, like, prepping for every single trivia question. Oh, just, like, blowing off all his writing assignments so he can win Fantasy Feud.
Stop it.
And fortunately, we get another mock draft podcast tomorrow with Chris Harris. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm getting my redemption.
Good luck with that, dude.
Thanks again, Jake.
Anytime.
Hey, by the way, Tex, I wanted to mention, we're obviously in the height of fantasy football season. I see the audience growing just a ton. I'm reading all these encouraging reviews as they're rolling in. Tex and I read all of them. And Tex and I have been having a blast preparing the show. Like, it's the greatest job in the world. But I wanted to give a shout out to some of the behind-the-scenes guys who are just an incredible team. Our producer, John Ebanks, is a beast. And by the way, he's got a better voice than both Tex and I. He should be the one doing this. He does the time-consuming attention to detail work that makes the podcast as good as it is. And, you know, the best compliment he gets is never hearing complaints about the sound quality. But I wanted to let everyone know, John is working his tail off and does an amazing job. And then we've got Chris Linz. He's our awesome video guy who took our videos from non-existent to just ridiculously incredible. That's at youtube.com/fantasypros. And Chris is like an essentially a real life Gronkowski, which is great too. We've got James Clinton, Andrew Blaine, who help us come up with creative content, refine the flow of the podcast, schedule great guests like Jake, and all kinds of other important things. Just want to say thanks to you guys. You guys deserve a ton of this credit.
Yes, we appreciate all the hard work behind the scenes that goes on. And thank you guys for listening. Obviously, you know, like, I'm sure they're going to love to hear this. But yes, make sure you guys thank them on Twitter.
All right, guys, that's all for today's show. I want to say thanks to the sponsors of today's show, Fantasy Draft. If you go to Fantasy Draft and use the promo code FANTASYPROS, you can get a 7-day rake-free trial. Again, that's fantasydraft.com, promo code FANTASYPROS. And thanks also to Pristine Auction. Go see what they've got for you. You're definitely going to find something for a good, affordable price, and everything's guaranteed authentic from only the most trusted sources. Again, that's pristineauction.com, P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E. Use that registration code FANTASYPROS, all one word, for $5 off. And sign up for that signed George Kittle San Francisco 49ers helmet at fantasypros.com/contest. And don't forget to check out our draft kit. You're going to love it, guys. Remember, it's outlawed in some leagues on Reddit because some people considered it cheating. fantasypros.com/draft kit. For Jake Seeley and Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.